Thank you, Deb. Of course, such a universe is exactly what we are in, right? Not just what we are in, though, but what we are of. We humans are products of the processes of emergence that have formed everything, starting from that single silent breath of 14 and a half billion years ago. Within the first second of that breath, all of the hydrogen atoms that exist in the entire universe today appeared. The first stars appeared a billion years later. And as they expanded and then collapsed, carbon and nitrogen and oxygen were created. 9 billion years later, in one of the galaxies created by these elements, the one we call the Milky Way, a giant red star exploded and created a cloud of heavier elements. 4.5 billion years ago in that same galaxy, a yellow star was born. And just a quarter of a million years later, a set of planets formed out of part of that cloud of elements and began to orbit around it. 4 billion years ago, life in the form of bacteria awakened on one of those planets, the little blue-green one that Reverend Safford wrote about. The rest, as they say, is history. Simple life forms birthing more and more complex life forms until modern humans emerged 40,000 years ago. And so, it's not just where we began, right? It is all of our relations. Do you know that we and that everything around us are made up of the atoms that were created in that cloud of elements when that giant red star exploded in the Milky Way before our sun was born? Not just the same kinds of elements, the very same atoms. Almost all of the hydrogen atoms in our water, in our bodies, on the entire planet were created within 1 second of that silent breath. And all of the other atoms in our bodies were forged by nuclear fusion inside stars that flared up and then died before our sun was born. So we are literally the universe made conscious. On top of that, all of those atoms within us and around us are continually cycling between us. We breathe out carbon dioxide that trees and other plants need to make their food. And as they make that food, they release the oxygen molecules that they and we both need to breathe to live. On an even more relational level, those molecules are made of atoms that just cycle between all their different forms. So the oxygen in my body right now has been part of your body and of the bodies of countless strangers around us, and elephants and giraffes and dogs and pine trees and daffodils and Jesus and Muhammad and Rumi and Dr. King and Lake Monona. There are lots of ways we can think about this universe and our place in it and of it, a place that Reverend Safford wrote so beautiful that learned clergy could not even speak about it cogently, and brilliant scientists in trying to describe it began to sound like poets with their physics, their mathematics, their empirical, impressionistic musing. Reverend Safford names here how interwoven those ways of describing can be. That makes me think about my own work as an ecologist and how my ministry emerged out of that work as I learned to speak more and more like a poet and less like an objective observer. I learned when I trained in plant ecology to describe the natural world in a particular way, to tease out processes of nature to learn something about how they work. I learned how to design research to do that and how to make use of technology to carry out that research, So tools, right, to help me measure out plots where I could identify and count plants. Access to plant identification techniques through books produced by experts and printing presses, shipped to me by airplane and truck and train. In a vehicle, roads I could use to get myself to my sampling sites. Statistical analysis programs that I have no clue how to write. We have invented all of this technology and so much more to help us see and understand how we've grown out of this universe and this earth. And in the process, help us be amazed at what we've come to understand. There are two sources of wonder here for me. First, at our own creativity that made these things that let me do this work. And second, for me, much bigger, at the little tiny bit of understanding that I've managed to gather on the natural world. It is this sense of wonder at the creation and our part in it that creates for me a bond between ecological and spiritual understandings of the world. One of the tools I have to explore that bond is a philosophy called religious naturalism. The American theologian and retired philosophy professor Donald Crosby wrote that religious naturalists find religious meaning, value, and importance solely in nature or in some aspect of the natural order. The antithesis of religious naturalism, he wrote, is any kind of supernaturalism. Nothing exists beyond nature, and a supernatural ground of nature is unnecessary. Nature, in some shape or form, is all there is, ever has been, and ever shall be. That includes the things we make and the things we build. This becomes a religious thing when, as another philosopher and theologian, Jerome Stone writes, we begin to add significance to things within this realm of naturalistic explanation. Religious experience, he says, isn't a different kind of experience, but a different quality of experience, potentially emerging out of any experiences. Religious experiences are heightened experiences of the ordinary, of the natural. One of my professors at Meadville Lombard Theological School, the Reverend David Bumbaugh, once told a story that I think illustrates this idea. He was driving on a highway out in the Western Great Plains, big open sky all around him, and he was just behind a huge thunderstorm. At some point, he noticed as he was driving behind this storm that things seemed brighter, as if they'd been charged with light. He stopped his car and he got out. He felt his heartbeat speed up a little bit as he stepped into the air behind the storm, seeing how everything looked so unnaturally bright and vivid and sharp, and feeling an intensity in the air around him. He describes it as a moment of deep awe, in which his thoughts were completely struck silent by his overwhelmed senses. When he started to think again, he remembered once learning that the increase of the amount of ozone in the air during and just after lightning discharges can cause that brightness and that intensity in the air. He told us that this explanation only increased his sense of awe, that being able to explain something so wonderful made it that much more precious. A British cartographer named Tim Robinson put it this way: miracles are explainable. It's the explanations that are miraculous. We humans, we are feeling creatures and we are thinking creatures. We are capable of many different ways of experiencing the world, which involve many different kinds of wonder, and we are meaning-making creatures, all at the same time. For me, like Reverend Bumbaugh in this story, knowing something about how a thing works only increases my awe. Seeing the interconnected web of all existence as an ecologist, simply for what it is amazing. This is what this tool of religious naturalism brings me, an understanding of the connection between the awe I feel simply experiencing nature, the awe I feel when I realize what I'm capable of learning, and the awe I feel when I think about our human capacity to both understand and impact the world we are from and of. That's what makes it religious. The American philosopher of religion, Loyal Rue, says that religion isn't about God. Religion, he says, is about us humans, about making meaning and about providing personal wholeness and community. And religion is a natural process, he says, that brings us through emotion and language to social cohesion, to community. He believes that religious naturalism will be a new planetary ethic, one that makes use of the wonders of the natural world to guide us in our lives, one that emerges as the world's existing religious traditions decline because they're not adapting to the changing times. Or, as Victoria Safford wrote, if such a universe existed and you noticed it, what would you do? What song would come out of your mouth? What prayer, what praises, what sacred offering, what whirling dance, what religion? What reverential gesture would you make to greet that world every single day you were in it? My seeing and my wonder at that seeing has led me to a desire to act toward my human and my non-human siblings and the web that surrounds us all with an attitude of reverence. That begins with awareness, with noticing what's around me when I go out walking, with hearing birds with awareness that the songs are different than they were in a different season, with seeing the flowers, knowing that the bulbs will die back to be replaced by the perennials in the summer, by feeling the air on my skin and on the back of my throat, understanding I'm taking in oxygen made by the canopies over my head, smelling the dampness in the air after a rain, like today, remembering the water's been recycled through the plants and the streams and the lakes and our bodies, tasting the blueberries I can pick in the woods, knowing they emerge from an intricate dance between flowers and insects. All of these processes are miracles, in and of themselves, with no investment in whether they serve me, and they are worthy of both notice and of preservation in and of themselves. I invite you to join me in a small movement meditation to close our time of reflection together. You can do this seated or standing, it doesn't matter. You can't see me, but you can put your feet. I feel the earth beneath my feet. I know I am standing on solid ground, and it is good. I feel the sun on my face. All y'all, I feel the sun on my face, and I know that I am warmed and awakened by its energy. And it is good. I feel my heart beat. I know that the blood pulsing through my body is made up of the same water and salt that is in the oceans. It is good. I feel my breath move in and out of my lungs, and I know that I'm exchanging life's elements with the plants and the trees, and it is good. You see the stars in the heavens and the eyes of my neighbors. And I know we are all made of the same stuff. It is good. May it be so. And may we be so.